Good morning. Please stand for the first song.
You did?
Hi. Good morning. That's my second favorite song of all the songs that have ever been song written. Thank you. What's the first? Into the Mystic, Van Morrison. Guy who wrote Brown Eyed Girl. While you're standing, random trivia for when we do trivia night here. It is the first Sunday of the month. And so I say welcome to you. I say thank you for being here. I also let you know that, as I told you last Sunday, this is a Sunday where together we come to remember God's love as we celebrate communion. So the whole service is going to point us in that direction. And ultimately, communion is about the reach, the never-ending reach of God's love. So one of the best ways that God can reach others with his love is through you. So how about turning to somebody and loving on them? Go for it. Okay, okay, okay. Time for children's time. And off the cuff, right? One of my, Sal, you may be seated unless you want to come to children's time, which you're welcome to, by the way. Children's time is all about how young you feel, not how young you are. But last week you got the beginnings of a reminder in terms of teaching on communion, but also in our Sunday school class. They spent time touching on communion, and they're going to do that again today. But how would you explain communion? We're gonna celebrate communion, and I believe that we've set it up so that if you want to come back from Sunday school and celebrate communion with us, we're going to give you that opportunity. But tell us, what is communion? You can hold it and just right
here like this.
I think communion.
You want me to hold it and I'll just repeat it? Okay.
I think
communion is about God sharing everything with everybody and how he loves us. Yeah, as an introductory statement, absolutely.
I think
you gotta speak up just a little bit, like you're talking to me.
Okay.
Perfect.
I think the Holy Communion is about just remembering the last dinner that Jesus had with his disciples, and remembering what he's done and how the disciples spread his word.
Okay, remembering the Last Supper, remembering what God has done for us, and about how God's disciples are supposed to spread his love. Is that what you said? Ah, man. Sometimes in a moment like that, I'm not sure if I should be really, really super proud of what's happening with our young people or terrified that I'm not sure some of us couldn't have given an answer that good. But that was really, Leo and Ariana, thank you so much for that. So I'm going to send you off, and you may start your Sunday school time because I know you're excited for that. I know it's going to be amazing, and we'll see you back here when we celebrate communion. Thank you both for that reminder. Love the Wonder Woman hat, by the way. Yes. Choir?
We'll miss you.
I'll miss you too.
All right.
Well, thank
we'll
you.
Do that next
okay, bye.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of
Amen. Amen. And thank you, choir. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 47 and will appear on the screen in front of you to your right. And we'll read responsively. So I'll start, you'll respond, and we'll go back and forth. And the first line, as you can see, says, clap your hands, all peoples. If you don't clap, it would be really weird. Clap your hands, all people. Oh, you did. You say, for the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Our God is the King of all the earth. Absolutely. Amen and amen. We have in this service regularly a prayer of confession, and it's a two-part journey. That one, we pray together, all of us. You're encouraged, you don't have to, but if you'd like to join us, then you may. And following that, then you get a quiet moment to have a confession, a meditation, a quiet prayer. And I'm pretty sure I know about you, but I definitely know about me, but I need Jesus. Anybody else? I am someone who is not perfect, and I am in need of God's forgiveness. And if you believe that, that's what the Bible teaches, then I would invite you to join me in the unison prayer of confession. Let us pray. It'll be on the screen. Lord God Almighty, how can I stand before you with my numberless and aggravated offenses? I have often loved darkness, observed lying vanities, forsaken your given mercies, trampled underfoot your beloved Son, mocked your providences, flattered you with my lips, and broken your covenant. It is of your compassion that I am not consumed. Lead me to repentance and save me from despair. Let me come to you renouncing, condemning, loathing myself, but hoping in the grace that flows even to the chief of sinners. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us go before the Lord in quiet prayer. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. This is the assurance of God's pardon. Will you please stand with me as we sing? You may be seated. It is those of you who spend time, much to our sadness, up north for extended periods of time. are blessed by the opportunity that our mat records the service and then puts it on the church website. And so, hello, internet. But specifically, I got a text message, a mess of them, now that she's learned how to text message well, from Melinda, and who is settled in Texas and is just about fully unpacked. And good morning, Melinda. Melinda sent a text message and said, it's such a blessing that Matt records these and puts these on the church website so that I can watch. And I said, yeah, Matt is amazing. Matt is absolutely a blessing. And then the text message, next one came in and it said, hey, can you try and remember the choir? And I said, you know, what would help is if you came back and reminded me like you used to. And Melinda said, you know what? Try forgetting the offering and see if anyone complains. And I said, touche. She said, you can totally blame that on me. I said, yeah, but they can't fire you. Our scripture for this morning, all that to say that for those of you who are going to head north at some point, you're able to go on the church website and have worship with us, which is just really amazing. That's not an excuse for you to sleep in on a Sunday morning per se, because it's not the exact same thing as being here as the body in worship, but if you're wanting to catch up from a distance, that's a good way to do it. So as you see, the elements have been prepared and set before us. It's the remembrance of the Last Supper, as Leo told us, the remembrance of what God has done for us out of love, and the remembrance that we are to go and spread and share God's love. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some of this will be familiar, but I encourage you to listen to all of it. For this is the word of the Lord. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. You gotta love Paul. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. Paul's talking to the early church, at Corinth. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. Good for Paul for not totally buying into hearsay and gossip. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some grow hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. That's the segment that leads up to the segment that we normally read before communion. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. This is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sunrise. Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941. 350 Japanese warplanes flew through a mountain pass over the island of Oahu and rained destruction on Pearl Harbor. 8 battleships, 10 smaller warships were sunk or put out of commission. 200 American planes were destroyed, and 3,581 servicemen were killed or wounded. The USS Arizona took a bomb right down its stack. The boilers, oil tanks, munitions magazine exploded. The battleship went down in 8 minutes, entombing 1,177 sailors. President Franklin D. Roosevelt called the day of the sneak attack a day of infamy. And the national battle cry with which the United States entered World War II was, "Remember Pearl." Other battle cries have marked our nation's history, such as, "Remember the Alamo." "Remember the Maine." The Lord's Supper is not a battle cry, but it too is a call to remember. Last week I shared with you that I'd visited as a child a historic church, and carved into the front of the communion table were the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper is a meal that we receive. Just as we take the elements, we receive them into our bodies, we remember our Lord Jesus. We receive the presence of God. We receive the presence of God. If we believe a couple things, and we ought to, right? When Jesus says, "Where two or more are gathered, there I am with you." But the Lord's Supper, communion, is more than a meal. It is a remembrance. It is a memorial. When we share in the bread and the cup, we have not only the responsibility of receiving, but the responsibility of remembering. On the night before Jesus was executed, he gathered with his disciples for a final meal together. It would be their last time together before Jesus was hauled away to be crucified. And around the table, he shared the Passover meal with his closest friends. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The word remembrance means much more than simply recalling someone or something from the past. To remember is almost to make it real again, to make it vivid. In this case, it is a remembering of Jesus' words, Jesus' life, Jesus' deeds, and the death that brings life to you and me. Because of Jesus, we were redeemed. We are redeemed. And we will be redeemed. The Lord's Supper commemorates that. I'm a visual learner. I know that about me. When I am learning something, I like to have a page in front of me. I like to have a notebook to doodle. Sometimes on the trip home from school, one of the children will be doing their homework in the back of the truck, and they'll say, "Hey, Dad, can you help me out with this problem?" And they'll read me this word problem, and I can't get it. So I'll wait till we get to a red light, of course, with the internet watching. And I'll say, "Pass it up here," right? And I'll look at it, and I'll go, "Oh, I got it. Johnny had 2/3 of a pizza, and Joey had 1/3 of a pizza. Who had more pizza?" To aid our memory in a visual sense, Jesus gives us 2 visual symbols. Necessary for life itself as a constant reminder to us. Bread and the cup. The very simplest of elements. They stir up emotional memories in our hearts, as an intimate photo might do. A well-read or worn-out letter from a friend, or a special gift that we keep. We're coming up on what is one of the bigger holidays in March, St. Patrick's Day. People really get into St. Patrick's Day. You wander over to Clancy's and tell me it's not a big day, all right? During the 19th century, Ireland was stricken by a potato famine, right? And during that time, many Irish people came to America. A young Irish boy stowed away on an American-bound ship, and at sea, the ship struck an iceberg and began to go down. And as people scrambled frantically for the lifeboats, the captain supervised the activity and, of course, was the last to leave the sinking vessel. When he looked back at the ship from his life raft, he saw that this young stowaway, was coming out of hiding. The brave captain ordered his lifeboat back to the sinking ship. He climbed aboard, rescued the boy, putting him in the captain's seat of the lifeboat, the only available place. And as the lifeboat slowly pulled away from the sinking ship a second time, now this time leaving the captain to go down with his ship, he yelled out to the boy, "Son, never forget what has been done for you today." Now I suspect that boy never did forget. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was his way of saying, "Son, daughter, never forget what has been done for you on the cross. Never forget the love, the sacrifice." Through the broken bread, he reminds us of his body that was broken to meet our deep need for rescue and salvation. And in his brokenness, Jesus took upon him my sin and your sin. Through the poured out wine, he reminds us that he was spilled out to meet our thirst for life. And through his death, Jesus erased my sin, your sin, our sin. Through the broken body, the spilled out blood, he became the perfect ultimate sacrifice. He atoned fully for our sin. He redeemed us now and forever. When we recall what Jesus did for us, which is what we do today, there can really only be one right response. When we understand his love for us, all we can do is offer back our lives to him. Let's go back to the upper room where Jesus shared his last meal with the disciples. Sharing a meal with friends, with loved ones, was as common a practice then as it is today. As familiar as having a turkey and stuffing for us on Thanksgiving. The Passover meal was a call to remembrance, remembering God's deliverance to the Jewish people from Egyptian bondage. But on that night, when Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant. It is shed for you," something uncommon was done. In the first century, when a young Jewish man reached marrying age, and it was time for him. Now, oftentimes, they did things a little bit differently back then, right? The family would go, "Son, we've picked out a wife for you. Daughter, we've picked out a husband." They didn't have all the dating apps that we have now, you see. It was a different process. So the father and the mother would take their son to meet this young woman. Again, we did things differently back then. And the two families negotiated a dowry. Right? What the families were figuring out was the cost of replacing the daughter. The price was usually very high. Let me tell you something. I can't think of anything you could give me that would compensate for the value that I hold on my daughter. As a father of a daughter, I can appreciate. I got a nice goat here. No. No, not at all. When the negotiations were complete, the custom was for the young man's father to pour a cup of wine and hand it to his son. His son would turn to the young woman, lift the cup, and hold it out to her, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I offer to you." In other words, it was his way of saying, "I love you, and I am pouring out my life for you. Will you marry me?" Young man, take notes. I am pouring out my life for you. Will you marry me? The young woman then had a choice. She could take the cup, or she could send it on back. And if she took the cup, she could answer without saying any word. She would simply take a drink. This act was her way of saying, "I accept your offer, and I will marry you, and I will pour out my life for you." On the night of the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples sat down together celebrating Passover. The disciples knew the process. They'd been to a Passover dinner or two. When it came time to drink the third cup, the cup of redemption, Jesus lifted the cup as the disciples would expect and offered the traditional Seder thanks. The same words are used today. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, for giving us the fruit of the vine." And then he offered it to them, but said something that they probably did not expect. He went back to the premarital vow, and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I pour out for you." Many meanings to that statement are possible, but one of them, in common ordinary language, was, "My friends, I love you." And the only picture that I can paint that I think will describe the power and the depth of my love for you is that of the pure love between a husband and a wife. It's hard to know what the disciples thought in that moment. The way I read the New Testament, the disciples don't always strike me as being the sharpest tools in the shed. Maybe a few chuckled and joked that Jesus was talking about making a marriage proposal to the disciples. It probably seemed out of place, and yet they could have understood Jesus' willingness to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, to say, "I love you, and as my Father promised your fathers, I will pay the price for you." And in response, "Will you pay the price for me and offer your life to me as I am pouring out my life for you?" In a few moments when we come to the table, we do well to remember Jesus' offer. He still says, "I love you and I have poured out my life for you." He has proved the extent of his love on the cross. He says, "I offer you my life. Will you also offer your life to me?" The taking of the cup, and this is one of the reasons why we pass out the little cups and we ask that you hold it. Give some thought. Give some prayer. And then as one body, we take and drink together. It's this moment where, in effect, you and I declare, "Yes, Lord, I accept your offer and I give you my life in response." Will you take the cup today, knowing full well that by taking that cup, we accept this love offering statement of Jesus, saying, "There is nothing that I would not do for you. I am pouring out my life for you." And in this moment, there is a question, and we answer it simply by taking the cup or not taking the cup. And to take the cup is to say, "I accept your love. I welcome your offer. And I give you, Jesus, my life. I pour out my life for you." Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. God, I struggle and wonder at times because I don't know that I am able to fully grasp the depth, the fullness of your love. But in this moment, we believe, oh God, that you are here, and so would you stir in this place. As we, to the best of our ability, open our minds and our hearts to your message, to the remembrance, would you help us to understand and know just a little bit more how real is your love? How true are you? How faithful you are always. Would you help us to examine ourselves? Would you help us with joy, humility, gladness in our hearts to accept your offer and to make our own? This is our prayer. We pray it in the name of you, Jesus, the one who has taught your disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. At this time, as the offertory is played and the ushers come forward, you and I contemplate how it is that we're going to give our lives back to God. For our regular members, this is the time when we give to God our tithes and our offerings. Friends, I would like to ask you to stand as we sing together, "Let Us Break Bread Together."
Thank you.
You may be seated. Sad, very sad part of Christian history. The early church didn't have a full drum kit. The early church didn't have an organ. The early church didn't have seated pews. The early church, following the example of Jesus, just took three very basic elements of life: water, bread, and the cup, which became the very basic symbols of God's people offering our lives back to God. Being washed with the water of baptism, the Christian receives new life in Christ, presents our bodies to be a living sacrifice and offering to God. When we eat the bread, when we drink from the cup, we receive the sustaining presence of God, remembering God's promise, and we pledge our life and our obedience anew. Here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church, it doesn't matter if you were raised a Methodist, a Baptist, a Catholic, or a nothing. Anyone whose heart cries out to Jesus as Lord and Savior is welcome at this table. And here's part of the reason why. Access to this table is never about being a right that anyone is entitled to because they are worthy. Because none of us are. But access, full access to the presence of God and this table is a privilege. Giving to the undeserving. It's me, and that's you. Those who come in faith, love, and repentance. We say that children are welcome with their parents' permission, which does presume or assume that parents are teaching in the homes what it is that is happening. And just in case it's not, it's something we teach in our Sunday school classes. I remind you of the words of Jesus. I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. Anyone who believes in me will never be thirsty. And a passage that we've already read, but I'll read it one more time to grant us focus. Paul says, I receive from the Lord what now I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I am pouring out my life for you. Dear friends, as the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, we now take these elements to be set apart from any common use. It's no longer a snack. We'll feed you a full breakfast after church. And we remember and acknowledge that these elements are now set apart for a holy moment. And just as Jesus gave thanks, will you please join me as we offer a prayer of praise and thanksgiving? Let us pray. Dear God, we ask that you would stir in this place by your Holy Spirit. Pour out your presence upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and the cup, so that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of Christ, meaning join us closer with you in your presence, O God. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with you so that we might be one with all who share in this feast. Amen. Amen. As our elders, communion servers come forward this morning, I remind you that as the elements are passed to you, that you would hold the bread until we can all take it together. God's love for you never ends. The body of Christ, take and eat. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and did something crazy. He made a wedding declaration, saying, in effect, I am pouring out my life for you, and asking the question, will you receive my love, and will you pour out your life for me? Jesus has poured out his love for you. And now it is our turn to respond. If you are ready to pour out your life for Jesus, then I would say to you, the cup of salvation, take and drink. I invite you to join me in a prayer. Dear God, we give you all the thanks that we can, that you have given to us your Son, the true bread from heaven, the very food of eternal life. God, because you are here and because you are good, would you now strengthen us in your service so that the best way we could say thank you is by the way that we live our lives. As we remember the body of Christ, now, would you send us out into the world to be the body of Christ. Keep us faithful in your service until you come back. Help us to show you and others the same love that you show to us. All glory and honor are yours now and forever. Amen and amen. A few announcements before we move into breakfast. Roy?
I want to give you a directory update. We're moving right along. If you have, how many of you have not filled out a slot to get your picture made? Have not. I have the sign-up sheet here with me today. Please, 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 if you've not, sign one up. Sign up. Continue, if you've not, also to put your family information in that insert and lay it on the end of the pew so we can pick it up after the service today. Also, one additional feature I learned this week, besides having your picture made for the directory, you can also have your family's picture made. If you're interested in having that done, see me. I have the sheets that will explain what that's all about. So we can do that. How many of you will not be here April 4, 5, or 6? Okay, if you will not be here April 4, 5, or 6, see me also, because I've learned that Life Touch has a place here in town we can get your picture made. So you will be included in the directory. So see me if you're not going to be here. The other thing we're doing is, looks like, because very few people, surprisingly, signed up for Saturday, that we may be able to move those Saturday appointments to either Thursday or Friday. Doreen has contacted some of you who signed up Saturday to change your appointment. I talked to one or two of you yesterday to change your appointment to Thursday or Friday. So those are the updates. Family can be included. If you're not going to be here, let me know, because we get your picture made at a studio here in town. You can have your family included in another photo besides the one that's going to be in the directory. And I've got so many sign-up sheets, I'm afraid I'll forget something. But anyway, we're moving right along. When we get all the information together, then I'll get with the committee that's working with me, and we'll set up, get to schedule for tables and people to come in, and you'll be notified by phone of your appointment. So things are moving right along. So please, the first objective, sign up for an appointment and give me your family information. If you're not going to be here, let me know, because we can arrange to have your picture made before you leave town. Are there any questions? Well, I thank you very much for your cooperation.
Thank you, Roy. Very exciting that we've got a directory in the works and underway. Also very exciting, this is really exciting for the financial health of the church, that when Melinda retired, she stopped being our office administrator, she stopped being a deacon, and stopped being the church treasurer. To fill in the gap, our very own Neil Vanderjagt stepped in as a temporary treasurer and was honest enough to say, I don't want to do this for more than a minute. And so we tried to find someone among us, hoping, trusting that God's always in the mix and God's always up to something. God is always up to something. And so we have now a church treasurer, and just an amazing one. She was already teaching Sunday school and already loved by our young people. And has just got smarts. Like, if we took all of, I'll include me because that'll bring down the median IQ. If we took all of us, Brenny has just got the stuff. So, Brenny, would you stand so that we can say welcome and thank you? So, if you got any questions about finances, calculus, anything, Brenny will be able to handle those questions. Next Sunday, this is a big deal. Time change. Okay? So, spring forward, right? Spring forward. In the new time change time, Bayshore Gardens Community Church English-speaking service will happen at 9 o'clock. Okay, if you come a little bit late, you'll get the Spanish-speaking service, and that's awesome, but those are your options. Okay, so make sure and adjust your clock. Any of you who are willing to teach Sunday school, please come talk to me or Misty or Brenny or Olga, and we'll start the process for that. In-home small group Bible studies. I'm asking you as we walk into the season of Lent this week, that whether you're only here for 3 weeks, you're only here for 4 weeks, I'm asking that you would sign up for an in-home small group Bible study. We've had people signing up. The goal that we would like 60 of the, carry the four, of the 143 people in church today, we'd like 60. That's the goal for the first year of trying to do this, to sign up for an in-home small group Bible study. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. Sign up today. New member class, March 10th. Is that next? That's next Sunday. That's next. Oh, very awesome. Oh, we want you to join us. We've enjoyed the dating process, but we'd like to make it a little more formal. We want to pour out our lives to you, and we want you to pour out your lives to us. Roy?
Thank you for saying that, because I'm reminded that some have asked, if you're not a member here, can you be included in the directory? The answer is yes. We are a community. We'd like to have everybody included.
Can you be in the church directory if you're not a member? Yes, absolutely. Yes, you can. We'd really like you to be a member, though. Would you please stand? Oh, while you're standing, a lot of birthdays in March, I was given very specific instruction not to sing happy birthday to only Matt. So I thought if we sang happy birthday to every, and who's got March birthdays? Yeah, all right, we're going to sing happy birthday, God bless you. Dane's got a March birthday too. All right, so Matt and Dane, and who else? Karen, very good. Oh, good, good. Who are you pointing? Oh, do it. So a bunch of people with March birthdays. Thank you so much for being in church today. Hold on, I'll send you to breakfast in a minute, y'all. Just tighten it up. Thank you for being here today. I hope, this is always what I hope, that when you leave, you feel better than when you got here. Okay. I want to send you out with this blessing. As you leave this place, I would tell you that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. Dear friends, God has purpose in putting you there, and it's this. Christ, who lives inside of you, has something that he wants to do in you, with you, and through you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, that includes on your way to breakfast right now. So believe this. Go from this place certain of God's grace, God's love, and God's power. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Lord bless y'all real good. Amen, amen. We'll see you at breakfast.
This is the body. This is the blood. Yeah.